good to see everybody today. We're excited. We're starting a brand new series today, as you saw on the screen, called Sacred Moments. And before I get into that, I just want to introduce myself. My name's Adam. How you doing? You good? It's great to see you guys. My name's Adam. I'm the lead pastor of Active Church, and it's my honor and privilege to open God's Word today and bring a message that I think is going to help you. I think it's going to encourage you, and I think God's going to use it today to speak truth over our lives. But before we get into everything today, I just want to get excited for a couple minutes. We got some cool things happening today. We have a ministry mixer, as Josh said, so that's pretty exciting, right? Yeah. So this is where, this is an opportunity that you have to go out there, and honestly, every single person here is a volunteer. We show up, we set up, we tear down. This is all done through people using their gifts and abilities. And I just believe that God's implanted in something in you to serve. Like you really, really owe it to yourself to see what God has in you. When you start serving in a church context, what happens is you see a couple things. Number one, relationships will open up to you. Relationships. You have, I don't know about you, but I don't have enough friends that are just calling me every day and saying, hey, can I pray for you? I need more friends like that, right? So when you get plugged into God's house and you get rooted in serving, you get people in your corner that are encouraging you. And I think that'll help you. And secondly, you have a gift that God wants to use. God wants to use your gifts. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that he created you with specific gifts he wanted you to use. And so we want you to take that next step today. So kind of kick the tires. You can go afterwards and check out all the different ministries and see which one is for you. So that's going to be really cool today. Also, a couple things happening. We're having our team night. So if you do sign up for Serve Team today, you'll get the invite to our April 3rd team night, which is a big, fun event we're having on April 3rd. It's 6 p.m. It's going to be dinner. We're going to have a lot of fun. We'll give out some prizes, and it's going to be a lot of fun. That's April the 3rd at Agape Church. And shout out to Agape Church for letting us use their community building. That's what's up. So Pastor Mike, we love you guys, and we're thankful for you. So we're going to get to use their community room, which honestly, man, like this, the local church here in San Luis Obispo, I know in some cities it's very competitive and people are like, you got to go to our church. And we do believe that you have to have one church home. We do believe that. But we do believe that we're better together. And so when we start serving each other and when the local church works together, we're stronger. And I think the world takes note when Jesus says, they'll know that you're of me by the way you love one another. I think he was talking to churches too. I think he was talking to local churches. And so that applies in our scenario. So that's really cool. So I'm excited for that. So if you want to check that out, you can go online. You can go on our Facebook and you can sign up for Serve Team, and then you can be invited to our team night. And then finally, Easter's coming up. How many of you guys are excited for Easter? Easter is like our Super Bowl Sunday. For Christians, this is like, hey guys, just so you know, this is when it all kind of went down. We really do believe, and this, so you know, if you're just checking church out today, once you believe that Jesus died and rose again, everything in the Bible becomes true. And you're like, okay, so now you have this amazing moment in history where all of our faith kind of hinges on this resurrection. Like, if Jesus didn't come back from the dead, then what we're doing here is just some good exercise in feeling good. But because Jesus rose on the third day, it changed everything. And the way we do life, the way that our society even counts years from, this is the year of our Lord, A.D., Jesus's life has so profoundly influenced the way that our world that we have to stop and look at what was going on with this first century, this rabbi that said he was the Son of God and claimed that he would be raised again and actually did it. So our whole faith rises and falls on the resurrection of Christ. So Easter Sunday is a big deal. And if I'm you, I'm thinking about who I'm inviting. I'm thinking about my neighbors. I'm thinking about my friends, my coworkers. Here's why. God does something. It seems like around Easter time and Christmas, people are more willing and open to check out God. It's like God softens people's heart just a little bit so that they're open to an invite. So people are going to come on Easter Sunday and you're going to invite friends, and it's going to be the best service for you ever. Watch. Because when you invite a friend to church and you watch them, when I say, hey, everyone, close your eyes, bow your heads, and I do an altar call. I invite people to come to Christ. I invite people to surrender their life. I'll give you permission in that moment to peek one eye, to open one eye, and to look at your neighbor. And as you're praying, God, I pray that she gives her life to the Lord. As you're looking, I'll give you permission. And when she raises her hand or when he raises her hand, that'll be the most memorable service you've ever been to. Why? Because God was using you to be a part of someone else's salvation story. Amen? So that's what we want. So here's what you can do. Here's how you can do it. You can go on Instagram. You can go on Instagram too. You can go to Facebook and go to our event and do me a favor. Just click that you're going. Just say, hey, I'm going to Easter at Active Church. And you can also invite people as well as you do that. So that's a great way to do it. And it's free. Facebook is free, right? And so that's always good stuff. All right. Well, hey, I'm going to read to you guys this verse. Can we open the Bible today? Is that good? All right, cool. You guys awake? You look good. Look to your neighbor and say, you look good. If you don't have a neighbor, just say, I look good. Look to your second choice and say, I was just getting to you. Yeah, you look good too. Theme verse for this series, Sacred Moments. This is out of the book of the Gospel of Matthew. This will be our theme verse for the week. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. He's hanging out. Jesus is doing life with his disciples because that's what he does. He's hanging out with his boys, and he's telling them now for the third time he's going to be given away. He's going to be handed over to the authorities, and they're like, they don't even get it. And then he goes on. It says they will condemn him to death, and then they will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, watch this. On the third day, on which day? The third day, he will be raised to life. Again, aren't you excited that God didn't stay dead on the third day? That we serve a risen Savior. That Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm going to die, but wait, because on the third day, I'm going to come back. We are going to walk with Jesus as he journeys to the death, burial, and resurrection. And we're going to pull out some sacred moments, because in this week, the series leading up to Jesus' death, his burial, resurrection, we're going to see some sacred moments that God wants to highlight for us because they have deep meaning for our lives today in 2019. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you so much for today. I pray, God, that you'd speak to us now and speak through me as your vessel in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. All right, so here we are. We're looking at the week of Jesus's his crucifixion. We're going to be in Mark chapter 11 today, so if you have your Bibles, you can look on your Bible, or you can look at the screen, or you can pull out your iPhone or your cellular device, and you can look on your YouVersion Bible app, which if you don't have the Bible app, you need to download it. I'll give you permission during my sermon to download the Bible app. Before we do that, I almost forgot, I want to show you guys something. Do you guys want to see a little highlight video from last week? We had baptisms and baby dedications, and I just think video is so cool just to highlight those moments. So before we actually jump into the text today, I want to show you guys last week, and God just did an incredible thing. So let's go ahead and watch the screen. Wow. Isn't that cool? Man, to think that every single person, man, that has made a decision for, we've had over 450 decisions for Christ at Active Church and to see what God's doing. It's just incredible. Love it. Love our team. Love what God's doing. And that was an incredible weekend and one that we can go down in the books. But you know what? God's not done. There's still more stories. There's still more people. There's still more people to reach, and God's not done. So we're excited for that. So good stuff. All right. We're in Mark chapter 11. I want to read to you guys. This is the Monday that Jesus of Passion Week. He's about to go to the cross that week. His life, his ministry is coming to an end here on earth, but he would raise again. But here we are. It's Monday, and Jesus is hanging out with his disciples, and he still cares about their potential. Because, listen, everything that Jesus did while on earth was to prepare his disciples for what's to come after he left. He's like, hey, I don't know about you, but that's good leadership. Hey, when I leave, I need you guys to carry on the mission. When I'm not here, I need you to work harder. When I'm not here, you're going to do better things when I'm gone. So Jesus was the ultimate servant leader. But what we see here in Mark chapter 11, we see a scenario where Jesus does something really weird, where he curses a tree. And I don't know about you, when you're reading the Bible, sometimes you're like, what the heck? What? Why is he doing? What is Jesus doing that for? Sometimes you read the Old Testament, you're like, I have no idea. What am I doing? How do I even believe this? What is happening here? But listen, there's a theological implication here. So here's what it says, Mark 11, verses 12 through 14. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. So he saw the leaves on the tree. That's important. He saw the leaves, okay? When he reached the tree, he found nothing but leaves. Huh. Because it was not the season for the figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. Kind of weird, right, Jesus? A little moody? I get it. You're a little hangry, Jesus. He's like thinking about all this. You know, you think about your to-do list. His to-do list is like save the world, deal with these disciples, and be crucified, right? That's his to-do list. And he's a little hangry. He's like, man, I'm hungry, and here's a tree. I'm going to eat some of your figs. And there's no figs there. The expectation was there was going to be food, but there wasn't. Now, let me keep going. Let me keep reading. It goes on, fast forward to verse 20. In the morning, the next day, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Okay? He cursed the tree. The next day, he sees the tree withered from the roots. And Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look. The fig that you cursed has withered. That tree that you cursed, it's dead now. And here's what Jesus says. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. And they're like, what? Has Jesus ever given you, you were praying and God gave you an answer to your prayer that you didn't like? Or has God ever done something confusing in your life? You're like, that makes no sense, God. Why would you allow this to happen? Or why is this happening? Or why do you want me to do this? I'm going to tell you something. Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, he called this fig tree a lone fig tree. Jesus is hungry. He gets up. He's hungry. He's looking for a reason to eat today. He's like, okay, well, I could see a fig tree in the distance. And he examines the tree. Now, this is important. Why did he expect figs on the tree? Because the leaves. Because here's what you got to know about these fig trees in Palestine, Israel. These fig trees, the way they bloom twice a year, so they blossom fruit twice a year. But when the tree, so I'm about to drop some figology on you, figologists, when the tree blooms fruit, what happens is usually trees have leaves, then fruit. Not this tree. The fig tree goes fruit, then the leaves follow. You know what I'm saying? So it goes, there's fruit on the tree, and then the trees will fill with leaves. So when Jesus sees the tree with the leaves, he's not thinking, oh, there's just leaves on there. Maybe there'll be fruit. He's thinking, no, certainly there's fruit because the fruit comes first, then the leaves follow. You tracking with me? But as Jesus got closer to the tree, isn't this true? When you give access to God, when you allow Jesus to get closer to your life, here's what will happen. Certain things will not make sense to Jesus, and he's going to go, why is that there? He'll put his finger on one area of your life and go, what's going on with this? And every time you come back to church, and every time you read your Bible, and every time you pray, he kind of, until you deal with that thing, he's going to get real close to you, and he's going to look at that thing and go, what's going on with this? And what happens is Jesus gets close to the trees, and he's expecting fruit, but when he gets up to it, he's expecting to see fruit, but he sees nothing. When Jesus had reached this tree, he saw that there was no evidence of anything that would benefit people. And if we're not careful, that's what religion can be for us. If we're not careful, Christianity can be all leaves, no fruit. What do the leaves represent? The leaves represent life. But listen, nothing good can, the leaves don't benefit other people, they just look good. Jesus cursed the fig tree, why? Because he's saying, look guys, this is what empty religion does. On the outside, everything looks great, but on the inside, there is no fruit to bear. In other words, when we live a life of religiosity and we go somewhere to feel good about ourselves and then we go back and do whatever we want, he's saying, there is no reason my people should be all flash and no substance. He's cursing the tree because it's not producing fruit. He goes on in that chapter later on and he actually clears out the temple court. Remember that? Jesus starts flipping tables over and he gets upset. Why does he do that? Because what happened was Jesus saw that religion had taken his people and made them more about the looks than actually about the substance and about people of character. Jesus was showing his anger at religious life without substance. If you claim to have faith without putting into work in your life, he says you're like a barren fig tree. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? It was all bark, no bite. It was all talk, no walk. You ever met people like that? You might know some people like that. All profession, no practice. It's like you kind of get this picture of someone that's trying to put on the front, like you go snowboarding. I like to snowboard. Actually, I haven't snowboarded in like a year and a half, but hey, that's what happens when you have kids. I got to take my kids snowboarding. But I like to snowboard, and I used to have friends that like would say, yeah, I like to snowboard too, and then we'd go snowboarding, and they'd have all the gear. They'd have all the brand new board. They had all the stuff. But then we get on the mountain, and I'm like, all right, let's hop on the first lift. And you can tell right away they're nervous. You're like, what's wrong, man? They're like, oh, nothing. It's been a little while. And they're like trying to get onto the lift, and they finally get onto the lift. They're hanging on to the thing. And then you know at the moment you get to the top of the summit, my friend's looking a little nervous. I'm like, what's wrong, dude? And I had no joke. I had a friend. His name was Adam. He said this. We got to the top. He goes, I got to be honest. I've never snowboarded in my life. Adam, if you're watching, you never snowboarded when you got all the stuff on. You got all the gear, but you've never, we call that a poser in my world. You're posing, bro. I'm sure there's a surfing technological term for surfers that do the same thing. Maybe I'm one of those because I stink at surfing. But he had all the gear, but he had no skill. See, the tree had all the potential. Why am I laboring the point? Because when we look, when we're doing things just to look good, but we have no fruit on the inside, there's no peace, there's no character, there's no integrity, there's no, hey, I'm trying to get rid of this sin. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm getting there. But when we act like everything's fine, but on the inside we're struggling with no fruit and we're dying on the inside, God says, I have a problem with that. Not because God doesn't like those people. Here's why. Because God wants you to live better than that. You have more potential than that, God says. I see, even as he's going to the cross, Jesus is still looking at the potential of his disciples and saying, I want you to live higher than this, guys. I want you to live better than this. I have something so much better for you in relationship, not in religion. Have you ever been disappointed like that? Have you ever had like an expectation you're going to go somewhere and it's going to be awesome? Like you wanted to eat something that was really good. You know, you had your favorite cereal. And you go and you pour out your Cinnamon Toast Crunch or your Fruit Loops. I don't know what kind of person you are. I'm a Cinnamon Toast Crunch guy. And you pour it all out. And then you go for the milk. There's no milk. You better put some water on that, right? And then, just joking. And then, or you go to, you know, say for example, you go to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and there's PB and no J. So you just have a peanut butter sandwich, then you're looking for honey. There's all sorts of times where you get disappointed. I watch Hulu a lot. I like Hulu. Thank you, Smiths, for letting me borrow your password and your username. We love Hulu. And we were watching Hulu one day, and I was like, what is this? Fire Festival. How many of you guys heard of Fire Festival? Fire Fest. Okay, let me explain. Fire Fest. This was a huge fiasco in 2017. This was supposedly the music festival of the year. And this was launched by a gentleman by the name of Billy McFarland, the CEO of Fire Entertainment. And what the event was supposed to be, here's what it was. It was going to be 2 weekends at Pablo Escobar's private island in the Bahamas. There was going to be all sorts of music artists. It was going to be an amazing festival, thousands of dollars for one ticket. You could stay in luxury villas. You could eat like amazing food, gourmet food on the beach. You have personal servants. I mean, it's going to be the event of the century. Talk about fear of missing out, hashtag FOMO. You didn't want to miss Fyre Fest, F-Y-R-E, F-Y-I. Fire. But here's what happened. Ja Rule was there. Billy McFarland was there promoting the event. They had beautiful models on the beach taking videos. They promoted on Instagram. They got the Jenners to get up in there. Kylie Jenner was posting about Fyre Fest. I mean, it was an all-out Instagram social media storm. And people bought it. The festival sold out in like 2 days. But here's what happened. There was no infrastructure. And as a matter of fact, Billy McFarland's only rule when he was given the island was, you can't tell people that Pablo Escobar owned the island. The very first Instagram video says, Pablo Escobar's private island. The guy blew it. He had no infrastructure, no food. When the people started coming in, he had no talent, no acts. And by the time the night came, the first night of the Fyre Festival, there was no music. There was no place to sleep for thousands of people, and they had fish. They had cheese sandwiches as their gourmet meals. People immediately wanted to go home. They got back into the airport. They couldn't get back to Miami. They were stuck on the Bahamas Islands, with no water, no food, and they wanted to get home. It was the worst expectation gap ever. Come on, have you ever thought you were going to enjoy a beautiful vacation, but you show up and you got. The short end of the stick. This is exactly what happened with the Fyre Fest, and this is exactly what happens with Jesus when he comes up to this tree. He's disappointed. He's bummed out. I remember Stacy and I had an Airbnb once here in San Luis Obispo. I was like, this is going to be great. We weren't living here yet. We were married. We were going to a wedding. I never forget. I was like, my brother-in-law is like, hey, just stay with us in the hotel. I'm like, okay, cool. Psych. I'm not going to do that. I'm with my wife alone, bro. I'm not going to go hang out with you guys. So I called up. I got on the Airbnb app. I found this beautiful one-bedroom place in downtown SLO. I said, Stacy, it's like 8 o'clock at night. I'm like, babe, I got a place for us. She's like, oh, my gosh. She likes when I plan stuff. I got this plan. I had this whole plan out. We get to the place. It's nighttime. It's dark. I see rows of cars, vans, like weird vans with stuff all over them, like old vans. Like you don't want to go into a house where there's old vans parked in the front yard. We went into the backyard. We walked into our luxury Airbnb, and it was a garage, y'all. It was a garage with a bed and like rafters and like a nice curtain. Was not what the picture showed. It was the opposite. I was disappointed. What does Jesus tell his disciples to do? He says, put your faith in, not in me, or not in faith. Put your faith not in religion. He's saying, put your faith in God. Trust in God. Why? Because that's the only way when you put your trust in God, not in man. Because if you're trying to impress people, they'll let you down. And ultimately, you'll miss God altogether. But put your trust, put your faith in God. The problem with this fig tree, and listen up. I'm going to give you a couple points, a couple problems you can examine from the fig tree. Number one. If you're taking notes, here's a problem. The fig tree was alone. You don't do good when you're alone. You don't do well when you're alone. It's hard to grow in isolation when you're by yourself. It's hard to grow with God's people when you're supposed to be around God's people. But when you're by yourself, you have no one to speak to. You have no one to encourage you. You know, the best figs in Israel grow in an orchard. Why is that, Pastor Adam? I'll tell you. Because when you're in an orchard, you have cross-pollination. That's good, right? You have cross-pollination. You get around other trees, and the best figs are the ones where there's cross-pollinating. There's all sorts of different seeds, all sorts of different things pollinating this fruit. And when you get around those trees, you get better, healthier fruit. I think we need to be around other people. I think that's why we need to be in life groups. That's why we need to share our story, share our struggles, share our pain, our addictions, our struggles with our family members. How many of you guys got problems with family members? Raise your hand. Let's just be honest real quick. You got some problems. Okay, everyone else, you guys, let us know how it goes. It's write a book. It's amazing how in a group you can grow. It's amazing how much more fruit you produce when you're around other guys and girls that love Jesus. It's amazing what happens when you become cross-pollinated. You can't do life alone, church. You have to get into a group. That's why we have small groups. We have life groups that meet all over the county. Why? Because we believe that life is better together. The second problem with this fig tree was it was all appearance. It was all appearance. It was like my buddy Adam in his snowboarding clothes, all of his Burton jacket, all of his brand new stuff. It was all appearance, no substance. Everything was based on appearance. There was profession, but no practice. That's why we got to put our faith into action. That's why it's important to serve. All profession, but no practice. We can do our life, we can do our Jesus thing on Sundays, and then forget that there's a walk to be had. There's a journey that God wants us to walk with. He wants us to go down. But unless we're serving, unless we're plugged in, unless we're pouring our life out into other people, we'll forget that real easily. You know, one of the greatest things I did when I first got saved was I got plugged in about a year after my walk, or a year after I got saved. I struggled my first year. I'm not going to lie. My first year of my walk, I was like, some Sundays I was great. Some Sundays, not so great. But you know what I did? When I was at church, I never forget, I had a friend tell me, Adam, you need to start serving somewhere. I said, okay. And he goes, why don't you start serving on the usher team? I'm like, what's an usher do? He goes, you just walk around and smile and high five people and tell them where to sit. I'm like, I could do that. Guess what? I got plugged in the days where I didn't want to be at church, I knew I was committed. The days where I wanted to skip out and play hooky, I was like, dang it, I told Rick I'd be there. I told Aaron I'd be there. I told Alex I'd be there. So I would show up, and I would serve, and I'd put my badge on. I would serve, and I'd sit in the back, and I would stand against the wall and look all official. You got to smile when you're serving. And then all of a sudden, I'd be standing up, and I'd be hearing Pastor Ron at Valley Bible Fellowship speaks, and he'll say something, and all of a sudden, it's like, poof. I needed to hear that. When you show up consistently, and I don't mean you need to serve every single Sunday, like you don't need to be, you know, twice a month, that's great, but when you show up consistently and you have a team to be a part of and you have people that are in your corner, you will grow spiritually. You owe it to yourself to see what God could do through you. And when you make a commitment, listen, it's the commitment that gets you there. It's the feeling will fade. You know what? We should do that, honey. I think we should do that maybe a couple times a month. Yeah, we should also go to the gym. We should also save more money. We should also go on vacation. We should also read more. I should do a lot of things. But when I say, I'm going to commit to doing this twice a month, everything changes. Why? It's the commitment. And then you have people that are here. How many of you guys know it's harder to go to the gym by yourself? But when you have a workout partner that's meeting there at 6 a.m., you're like, oh, dude, dang it, I told him I'd be there at 6. So you get up and you go. You need to have more than just appearance. You need to put your faith into action. That's why the ministry fair today, we want you to put your faith into action. You need people in your life. You need someone in your life that you can say, hey, pray for me. I'm making some bad choices in this area. Hey, will you hold me accountable, bro? I've been doing this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I feel so stupid. I feel like I'm kind of going back to my old lifestyle a little bit. You need people that you can say, hey, girl, can I call you? We need to talk. And she'll know exactly what you mean. She'll be like, yeah, let's talk. You need people. The third thing is the tree was absent of fruit. It was absent of fruit. The tree had no fruit. I want to live a life where I have fruit. I want my life when I'm said and done to go, man, he wasn't perfect, but man, he tried. Man, he gave it his all. He loved people well. He loved his family well. He loved his kids well. I want a life that produces fruit. That's why we say we want you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. You need to make a difference. Your life, listen, it's weird. By the time you realize your life is short, you're already getting older. It's kind of a cruel joke. You're like, wow, life is kind of short. I'm in my mid-30s now, and I realize that my days are numbered. I only have so much time on this earth. But listen, when you live not to make yourself happy, but when you position your life to make others, to bless others, to make more out of relationship, to make more out of the opportunities you have to love people for Jesus, you will see your life making a difference. And we owe it to ourselves because, man, God's given us so much that we ought to make a difference. So how do we change? How do we change if we're not bearing fruit? I'm going to give you a couple things and we'll get out of here. If you find yourself in a position like this, the Bible speaks of another tree. There's not just one tree, there's multiple trees. Psalm 92 says this, Psalm 92, 12, says, the righteous, everyone say righteous. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. God wants us to flourish. Let's look at what it takes to flourish like this tree. Because, for example, we have a thing called growth track here. We don't just call it the track. We don't just call it the, hey, let's go check out, you know, what God's doing. This is the growth track. We want you to grow. We don't want you to just, I don't want you to be the same time this time next year. I want you to be further in your walk with God. I want you to grow, and so does God. So how do we do that? How do we grow? How do we bear fruit? Number one, if you're taking notes, how do we bear fruit? We need roots. We need to have deep, deep roots. You know, roots are the secret part of the tree that no one sees, but everybody benefits from. When a storm comes and that tree is rooted, what happens? The storm comes and it blows, but it doesn't break the tree. Why? Because it's sunk down deep. You need roots that go deep into the soil. You need roots that go deep into the Word of God. You need roots that go deep into the presence of God. You need roots that go deep into a relationship that God is pouring into. You know, when my roots grow deepest are when I'm spending time with Jesus in prayer. When I'm spending time with Jesus in prayer, I'm connecting with God. That's how I connect. When I'm hiding God's word in my heart, that's how I grow my roots. I hide God's word in my heart. This is what Psalm 119 says, verse 11. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is important because God wants to build character in us. So when we hide his word in our heart, what we're doing is we're saying no when we have a reason to sin. And trust me, I don't need a whole lot of reasons to sin. But when we get into a practice of, okay, when I'm tempted to sin, and we have a word to go to, that's gold right there. When we have a word that we can pick out and say, you know what, God? No, that's not me. That's not me. When we're depressed and we have a word to go to, cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. When you have his word hidden in your heart, you'll be able to fight against the attacks of the enemy and stand strong. You need roots. We need roots. Number two, how else do we produce, how do we produce fruit, Adam? How do we do this? We need rain. And this is the presence of God. This is the presence of Almighty God. When you have the rain of God, when God's raining into your life, when you have his pouring his spirit out, how do you do this? For me, it's worship. It's worship. When I position my life to magnify God, you know what worship really is? Worshiping God is simply magnifying God. It's making much out of God. And wherever you put your focus, whatever you think about all day long, you're eventually going to head in that direction. So if you're constantly mad, or if you're constantly having a negative self-talk and you're complaining, that's the way your life's going to go. But when we look at God and say, God, I need your presence in my life. I need you to rain down in my life today. And we throw on some worship music. And we throw on some praise music. And you go into your car, you go into a place where you can study God's word or just connect with God. And you crank up some music and start worshiping God, things will begin to change when God's rain starts pouring down into your life. You need rain if you're going to be a healthy tree. You need rain if you're going to give people, if you're going to have something to give people. This is the big thing. You have people that need you. You have people that love you so much that you represent God to them. Did you know that? You're the only Bible that someone's reading right now. I want to be able to pour out and help other people. I want to be able to say, you know what? God was speaking to me this morning and I got a word for you. Or, hey, I want to encourage you. See, when we're being poured into, we can pour out. But unless we're poured into, we have nothing to pour out of. We might have some old stories from 2004. And we might be able to say, I remember when God was, it must have been 10 years ago. No, it was 12, that was 13 years ago. Wow. When God is raining fresh manna in your life, everyone benefits from it. Everyone benefits from it. Number three, here's what you need. If you're gonna produce fruit for Jesus, you need relationships. You need healthy relationships. You need people in your life that are going to encourage you in your walk. You need people that are going to say, hey, text you, how you doing today, bro? How can I pray for you? You need people that are going to say, you know what? I want you to know that I'm praying for you this week and I got your back, bro. You need girls in your life group encouraging you every single moment, every single day, going, hey, how you doing? When you meet up on Wednesday night and you have your dinner group, your dinner party, you need people in your life. They're going to build you up and not tear you down, because we know we have enough people trying to tear us down. I'm pretty good at doing it to myself in the mirror. Can we just resolve to stay in environments where other people are growing and we're helping other people grow? We're growing ourselves and they're growing. That's what I want to be around. I want to be around guys that are sharp, getting sharper every single day. I love connecting with people and just asking them, what's going on in your life? How can I be praying for you, man? What's going on? Let's talk. Let's get into life a little bit. I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord, I wasn't reaching my potential. Maybe some of you guys have been there. Maybe you're there right now. I was 21 years old, and I remember thinking to myself, there was days where I was hanging out with old friends. I like found myself struggling kind of with this lifestyle that I used to live. And I just want to encourage you guys, the people that you surround yourself with, that's how you're going to rise or fall to the level of those people. And God bless my old buddies, but man, they were knuckleheads. And I remember going, I wanted to still be close to them, but I knew that they were just doing things I shouldn't be doing. So every time I'd go out, I remember it was like a Friday night or a Saturday night, I'd be driving in my car, and I could either go left or right. If I was going to go left, I'd go to my Christian friend's house, and we'd read the Bible, and we wouldn't drink beer excessively, and we would just kind of chill. We might have like a beer, right? That was like what we would do. And we'd read the Bible. Because that was the life I was coming out of. My buddy met me right where I was at. But the other side, if I would go the other side, I was just making really bad mistakes. Doing stupid things. Making dumb choices, hanging out with the wrong people. I remember one night I was hanging out and my buddy Brent was like, so what are you reading the Bible, Adam? And I was embarrassed to talk about it. They were kind of making fun of my Christianity. I was embarrassed a little bit. And I just said, oh, you know, whatever, just reading John. And I remember walking home or leaving that house that night. And I remember thinking to myself, the verse where it says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. Like, I felt the weight of that verse. Like, I didn't stand up for Christ. I didn't say, you know what? Yeah, God's speaking to my life. And you know what? I'm reading my Bible. Why? Because I felt like in that moment, I was the outsider. They were looking at me like, oh, here's the Christian guy. How long is this going to last, Adam? A little Bible thumping. And in that moment, I realized I can't do this anymore. I need relationships. I need people. And so I remember the next night, instead of going right to go to like their house, I went left and went to my Christian friend's house. And we started reading the Bible together. We started studying the Bible together. I would bring my Bible over and I would sit down, and he taught me how to read the Bible. And he taught me how to pray. And he taught me how to memorize scripture. He taught me what it means to be a man of God. It was through relationship that I was able to get set free from a lifestyle that was pulling me. I don't even think I'd be here right now if I stuck on that track. But praise be to God that that young man that started pouring into me pointed me to a life group. And that life group was praying for me before I even got saved. And that life group continued to pray for me as I flushed out all my junk from 20 years of living for myself. But it was when I got rooted and planted and I sunk down roots into the local church, that is when God began to do a new work in my life, church. It's only by the relationships. We can do all the godly things. We could do all the church stuff. But if at the end of the day, we don't have people in our corner that can ask us how we're really doing and encourage us in the Lord, then we're missing out, church. And I pray that today, that if you hear nothing else, you would hear this, that God has people waiting for you. There are friendships, there are relationships here that God is saying, if you would just get out of your comfort zone a little bit and trust me, watch what I'll do in your life. It's through relationship. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for today. And I pray, Lord, that for some of us today, God, there's maybe we feel lonely. Maybe we feel like we're like that fig tree that's been cursed. There's no good fruit in our life. We're trying, but Lord, it seems that we keep falling down the same path. God, right now, would you show us that there's a different way? Lord, that we could be like that tree, that cedar of Lebanon, Lord, that would be planted by still waters, that you would show us how to produce fruit, God. Lord, let our roots grow deep. Let our relationships form, and let there be rain in our lives, God. Let your presence rain down in our lives today. As everyone's eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I just want to speak to those that are here today that they feel dry. You feel dry and you feel like there's no hope right now. I'm here to tell you there's hope found in the name of Jesus Christ. And maybe you feel like that tree, there's no fruit in your life. And maybe you've been doing the church thing for a while, or maybe not so long, but you feel like there's no fruit. I'm here to tell you and encourage you, today God wants to produce fruit in your life, but it's going to come through surrender. And it's going to come through you giving him access to all of your life. See, God works on that law of access. He can't go where he's not invited. So some of us here today, if you hear the sound of my voice, and that's you, in a moment, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to have you raise your hand to say that's me. But if that's you, you feel like you're empty. You feel like God is not there. And you've never really accepted his love for you. This is for you right now. God wants to restore you. And it's only going to come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you want Jesus to come into your life, you want to begin to serve him, you want to begin to know him, then all you need to do is receive him. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that he died and rose again, you'll be saved. That means you're saved, that your sins are forgiven. That when you go to meet Jesus, to meet your Creator, that he will no longer look at you and look at you as a sinner. The Bible says he'll look at you as sanctified, righteous, set free, not because you're good enough, but because Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. He lived a perfect life. He died a death that you and I all deserved, and he rose again on the third day to show the world that he can defeat sin, death in the grave. And he did it for you and I. If you're here today and you want to receive God's grace over your life, you want to pray a prayer with me, then I want you to do me a favor. All I need to do is on the count of three, pop your hand up, and I want to know who I'm praying with. 1, 2, 3, if you need prayer and that's you, raise your hand right here. Awesome. Say, God, I need you. God sees your hands. Yeah, God sees your hand. Anybody else? Say, God, I want to receive Jesus right now by faith. Amen. I want us all to pray together. No one prays alone. If you raised your hand, or even if you didn't, repeat this prayer after me as an act of faith. Heavenly Father, thank you for dying on the cross. And thank you for raising again on the third day. Right now, I surrender my life. I give it to you. Come live in my body all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, church. That was awesome. Give it up for those people. So proud of you guys. Hey, now, I know some of you guys that made that decision, you need a next step. Your next step is we want to resource you with a book called Fresh Start with God. It's a simple book we can give to you at the Connect Center. Just take that Connect card out of that pocket right now, right next to you. Take the Connect card out. If you made a decision, write down on that Connect card, I made a decision for Christ. Just check the box, put your name, your phone number. We promise we won't spam you. We just want to get connected to you. Also, if you're ready to take a next step and you want to join a team or you want to join a life group or you want to get connected to the growth track, today's your day. Get signed up and let's see what God can do through us. Let's worship our God for a minute and then we'll get out of here. Let's worship.
So free, washes over.